right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. A few more tidbits about the Titanic, folks. As we all know, or most of us should, the Titanic was found in 1985. In 1986, the French Oceanographic Institute did a forensic examination of the wreck with Dr. Robert Ballard. The propeller, through corrosion, had eaten away the numeral 4. 01, as in the 401, could still clearly be seen. This was the propeller taken from the Titanic and put on the Olympic after Smith's earlier mishap. They also not only found repairs made to the keel of the ship, but on the lettering of the ship. Remember, I said when they originally made the ships, those letters, Titanic and Olympic, they were engraved into the hull. When they found the ship, two letters had fallen away, and underneath those two letters was the engraved lettering MP. Think about that, folks. Now, some footnotes here. J.P. Morgan was the main financier of the White Star Line. J.P. Morgan canceled his reservation at the last minute due to illness and was found 2 days later to be in perfect health on the French Riviera with his mistress by an American reporter. J.P. Morgan arranged the 1910 meeting, I might remind you, and provided lodging to the six members attending the secret meeting at Jekyll Island, which G. Edward Griffin writes about in his book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Those members were Nelson Aldrich, A. Piat Andrew, Henry Davison, Arthur Shelton, Frank Vanderlip, and Paul Warburg, the men responsible for the birthing of the Federal Reserve banking system that we still have to this day. The three major outspoken, influential, and very, very wealthy and connected and main proponents of that new proposed system, not proponents, but opponents of the system, the three very, very rich guys that were totally opposed to the Federal Reserve System and likely could have stopped it was John Jacob Astor, Benjamin Guggenheim, and Isidore Strauss. All three, coincidentally, were passengers and lost their lives when the Titanic sank, or in this case, the Olympic. Do you think that's a coincidence, folks? Now, I'm going to open the phone lines, 800-313-9443. Call in, give me your thoughts. You can, you know, share a story with me. You can yell at me if you want to. But 105 years later, we still feel the erosion in our pockets, our privacy, and our own safety of what the likes of J.P. Morgan and his cohorts, who were successful in pushing through the Federal Reserve System, have done and continue to do. Awakened Americans constantly reel from the continued ongoing demonization and later devastation continually foisted upon undeserving countries in our name, escalating their atrocities in their attempts to strangle what's left of societies that simply wish a peaceful and prosperous life. Please tell me, is there anyone or anything that can stop this monster? Now, in previous shows, I know you folks have heard me talk about what they did to Gaddafi in Libya, or Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and it wasn't over, you know, demonizing them because they were killing their own people or doing all these atrocious deeds that our government said they were doing. No, it's because Saddam Hussein decided he wanted to start trading his oil for euros, and that was a big no-no to the banking system. And Muammar Gaddafi wanted to start trading his oil in gold dinars, and it's the same thing. It's a big no-no. Once they did that, they were in the target hairs, and they were done in. Okay, again, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Now, I have to share a story with you. Over the weekend, and I worked pretty hard this weekend. I was actually up till, oh gosh, it was past midnight, night before last, working on one show. And you know, I'm finding out as I go down the rabbit hole on these certain issues, the tentacles go out in several different directions. It reminds me of way back when you know, I originally woke up and I was doing all this research, finding out all the stuff that I didn't know or was lied to in school in the history books or whatever, you know. Well, that happened to me again over the weekend. I'm going down the rabbit hole on a particular subject, and all of a sudden its tentacles are diving off into other subjects that are, you know, writings for other shows. And that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm going off into a few of those tentacles to write about those and to tie it in with the, you know, the program that I finished doing the other night. So it's going, I have to tell you, it's going to be an interesting week, folks, because I'm going to remind you now, tomorrow night I've got Field McConnell coming up, and he's going to be on the program for 2 hours. We're going to open the phone lines in the second hour. I have a number of questions I'm going to pose to Field, and then we're going to open the phone lines, and I'm going to allow you guys to ask him questions. But he's a very, very interesting gentleman. He was flying an F-16 on 9/11 over New York in the aftermath of the disaster that happened there. But he's a field of knowledge. He's investigated a lot of different stuff, and I have to tell you, I could write 1,000 questions to ask this guy, but there's some specific ones that I'm going to focus in on. And again, it's going to be interesting. Now, I will share this with you. The Clinton body count. I started looking into the not necessarily the motivations behind it, but the circumstances behind some of these suicides, if you will. You know, they were suicided. And that caused me to go off into a whole bunch of different directions on a whole lot of other different stories. So that's going to be coming up maybe Wednesday, maybe Friday. I'm not sure. But anyway, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Charlie in Louisiana. You're second, but I'm going to go to Ken in Fort Worth, Texas. Ken, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, go to Amazon and put in Titanic Conspiracy. There's quite a few books. There's one called The Titanic Conspiracy by Robin, hang on if I get the name here, by Robin Gardner. And he's got a new one out called The Giant Titanic Conspiracy by Robert Gardner. And okay. There's one called Conspiracy at Sea by Kent Layton. There's one called Olympic and Titanic by Steve Hall. And you know, it's kind of cute to look at it. There's one called Titanic and Olympic. And the next book is Olympic and Titanic. And they switch their authors' names around, just kind of a little play on the thing, you know?
Yeah. Switch the ships.
It's kind of cute. I just run across that and start thinking, yeah, that's what they did. Have the play on your head there a little bit. But if you hunt them down, there's quite a few of them books, you know, just let you know about it.
Well, I appreciate that, Ken. And yes,
sure,
I will.
Sure.
I'll definitely. Okay, but let me ask you this question. I don't know, you know, how much you have read into it or heard about it or whatever. But knowing what we know about these players in the game here, you know, with J.P. Morgan and you know, he set up the meeting in Jekyll Island. Wouldn't you say the preponderance of the evidence is more likely than not, knowing the character of these kind of guys, that they did switch the ships? Did Ken go? I guess he must have hung up. All right, let's go to Charlie in L.A. Charlie, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike. I think Morgan gets too much credit for being involved with the Federal Reserve. Nelson Aldrich was John D. Rockefeller's father-in-law.
Okay.
And it was the Aldrich-Owens Act that pushed it through, but I think for the most part, Warburg and the Rothschilds and
right, well,
all those European banking families.
Let me stop you there. It was J.P. Morgan who set it up, and I believe it was J.P. Morgan's property that he allowed them to stay at. I think that's or either that or he's the one that rented the property, something along those lines.
Yep.
But he was involved in it. Go ahead.
Yeah,
He didn't attend the meeting, but go ahead.
Yep. So anyhow, I was just saying that you know, it was Nelson Aldrich was Rockefeller's father-in-law.
Okay, Nelson Aldrich, Rockefeller's father-in-law.
It was the Aldrich Owens Act that started it up and all that crap in 1908.
Mm-hmm. And then it was 1910 when they had the meeting at Jekyll Island. But Astor Guggenheim and Isidore Strauss were strong opponents against it. And it's just, I just think it's very coincidental that they all wound up on that ship. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, stranger things, you know, whatever. I mean, very possible. You know, there's, look at the money, in my opinion, the money, it came from them European families that they cashed the Federal Reserve Bank. They had the most of the gold from that side of the world, and they brought it over, and that cashed the Federal Reserve Bank. And I don't know, I just always thought Morgan was more of a, he was a just a Rothschild subsidiary. When he died, he was only worth $35 million. People thought he was worth like $500 million, but he, on the scale of being wealthy, he died relatively a. Not
he was
a poor
just
man,
he was a low level crook, right, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean they thought he was going to, you know, he was like, you know, Rockefeller, but he really was nowhere near it.
Yeah. All right, well, good point.
Okay,
good
that's
point.
All I had to say.
All right, well, thanks, man. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Fred in Iowa. Fred, you're on with Michael. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Mike, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hey, Astor Guggenheim and Strauss. Strauss was Jewish. Okay, I'm going to make a statement. Hitler lost the Second World War. The Nazis won the Second World War. Now, on Jekyll Island, which Morgan put up the building where they met, all of them were from Japa, or other words, white men. They weren't Semitic, or, as you hear, Jew, on RBN. Only Warburg was Jewish.
You know, Fred, you don't hear that on my show.
No, not on your show. But okay. I've been on RBN for 3 years and 2 months battling this crap. And they never, meaning RBN, never gets to the bottom line. And I know where the bottom line is. Okay. The show that you put out about Gaddafi and now the Titanic, I have been through them many, many times, and probably in the future it sounds like you're going to put out shows that I've been trying to get out. Israel today is not biblical Israel. It is terrible. It is horrid. What the Khazar Jews, or so-called Jews, which all the Jews are not perfect.
Fred, you're not telling me anything I'm not familiar with, okay? Either I believe it's Orthodox Jews, or, you know, they're saying Israel shouldn't exist. So I'm not disagreeing with that. I just don't want to spin this show into, you know, this Jewish thing again. You know, so.
Well, I am not anti-Jewish. I am not.
I'm not either. I'm anti-Zionist. Go ahead.
Herzog, I like you very much. I want your show to go on. I am for you. But I want to get rid of this bull crap lies. And I'm telling you, you've got, the callers have got to have the guts and the courage to face these shows where misinformation is being put out.
Well, Fred, but, you know, you can vent on my show about that. But I don't have the power to correct it, my friend. Okay, I'm just a host on this network on a show. Okay, I mean, you know, John and I have known each other for a long time. But John's going to do what John's going to do. I'm not
right.
going to influence. Go ahead.
Right. But you can do what you can do. What you know of the truth. That's what you can do as an individual. And I am for you, Mike. I am not against you. Okay.
I believe it.
Okay. Callers will probably come in, but we'll see. Okay, have a good evening. Thank you.
All right, Fred. Thanks for the input. I appreciate it. No, you know, look, folks, a lot of you out there know me, and I've been around the block on RBN a few times. You know, it goes back years and years and years. And there really, you know, as well as I know John, there's how would I say this? There's politics that go on behind the scenes with any radio network. And certain things have to be done to generate revenue and that sort of thing. Now, as we all know, you know, RBN has been running a battle for a long time financially because the advertising has dried up. There's not the money out there being spent that used to be spent. Heck, 10 years ago, John didn't have any issues at all. You know, I mean, he floated the network, never had to get on the air and ask for money. And it's only been over the last several years that it has started to happen, but it's getting to the place now where it's almost necessary to have everybody kick in $20 a month or whatever to keep this afloat. Because if we don't, where are you going to go? You know, I mean, you can go over and listen to Alex Jones and buy some of his, you know, health products. And by the way, I may have mentioned this. I've bought a few of Alex Jones' health products. They're not bad. You know, they're as good as anything, maybe better. The only problem that I have with it is that Jones is consistently bombasting out these products on a regular basis to the point of nausea, you know, just ad nauseum, that's the word I'm looking for. And you get to the point where you're tired of it, you know. John doesn't do that. John's trying to make some moves here to, you know, right his store, to make some moves with upgrading his equipment, you know, to bring you the best possible message he can bring you. John knows there's internal issues going on. And John has to have the funds available to address those issues. That's part of the reason that they put together this drive to, you know, to collect money to give John some breathing room. And folks, again, I don't want to harp on this, but if you can only imagine, you know, to wake up every morning with a stack full of bills, that the only way you can pay these bills is to go out and ask the audience to help. That's where he's at. And if the audience doesn't want to help, one day you'll turn on the radio and RBN won't be there. You know, end of story. It's that simple. So, you know, I'm just asking everybody that is in my listening audience. It'll ensure you that we're going to be around next week or next month or 6 months from now. Otherwise, we might not. One day you may, you know, tune in and we won't be there. So, all right, I'm off my rant now. And I don't know. You know, I kind of walk the line with what, you know, I've had people tell me, well, you know, you need to report on what's going on lately with Donald Trump and what's going on political. And I say, you know, that's for the guys on the daytime shows. The nighttime shows, if I regurgitate what they're talking about during the day, which, by the way, I'm up to speed with, I know what's going on, but if I'm just regurgitating, sooner or later you get tired of it. And I don't know, maybe it's that you like my take on it as opposed to John's, or, you know, John's as opposed to Mike Rivero, or Rivero as opposed to me. I don't know. You know, the only thing I do know is that RBN does try to, you know, bring you the best news possible during the day and at night. You know, I think this is more of an informative show that I've put together to, you know, give some people some insight to the history of what really happened as opposed to what they tell us happened, which, as I've said before, is my firm belief that in the history class, somebody told me, I don't know whether it was a call-in listener, somebody told me they don't even teach history in school anymore. I don't know whether I believe that or not. But I do know that the history that I read in school, and now looking back on it over the years, you know, that a lot of what I read in the history books that I found out later wasn't true. You know, and one that comes to mind is, he's rest in peace, Russell Means. I had him up on the show, the actor that played the Indian in Last of the Mohicans, Indian activist, had him on the show a couple of times. And, you know, off the air, Russell Means actually told me what really happened at Custer's Last Stand as opposed to what the history books wrote about Custer's Last Stand. I wish I would have written it down. It was about an hour-long conversation I had with him, and I was absolutely just shocked at what they, or why they did what they did to Custer. And I would have told you, if I was an Indian living with my, you know, in my teepee with my, you know, with my squaw and all that stuff, I would have probably done the same thing. Because he was the terrorist, Custer was a terrorist in the 18th century. You know, he was going through looting villages and robbing the Indians and, you know, just doing all kinds of dastardly things. But we've got that going on in this day and age. As I went down the rabbit hole on the Clinton death list the other night, I'm just absolutely astounded at some of these people and how they wound up dead and what, how, you know, the way they were killed and the cover-ups involved in it. I could do 20 shows on just that. I'm not going to, but I could. But I am going to you know, kind of follow the pathway of some of these people, because the more you look, the more interesting it seems to get. Anyway, that's a story for another day. Let's see. I have some other stuff I was going to go into here, and I've got to get in. I got to get into it to find out. I've got another program coming up. I was going to do a show on the Holocaust itself, and but I'm not going to do that. I've decided to change that and to revisit, take a trip down memory lane, and revisit the trials and tribulations of Ernst Zundel, because a lot of the evidence comes out when you look at him and what he went through. And I just saw the other day where the United States government, immigration, is denying Ernst Zundel the opportunity to come back to the United States, where he was when basically they kidnapped him, put him in, or took him to Germany. He was tried over there and spent 5 years in prison. His wife lives here. She's a citizen here. And they will not let him come back, even though he's married to a United States citizen. So that's a story in itself. I saw that run across my computer, and I thought that rather fascinating. So I'm incorporating that in a program that I'm going to do here, I don't know, in the next week or so. I've got so many of them that I'm looking at right now. I'm trying to figure out how to piece them together and kind of put them in a chronological order, if you know what I mean. So that said, let's see. I'm going to go back in here. What I'm going to do for the rest of the hour is just leave the phone lines open, 800-313-9443, and just touch on some news that I think might be interesting or pertinent. I did not get the opportunity today to listen to John's show because I'm working. I didn't listen to Michael Rivero's show, so I don't really know what they reported on today. Let's see. There should be a break coming up here shortly, I think. And then when I get back from the break, I will... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have some fun here. I'm going to go into... Michael Rivero's website. And Mike, is there a break coming up shortly? I think you can't hear us again. Okay. Great. I guess evidently there was a mechanical malfunction or something. I don't know, and I don't know where I cut off here. But no, I was talking the whole time. I just stopped talking about 10 seconds ago. And oh, I see. Okay. Well, at any rate, what I'm going to do, for some reason my microphones are being shut off automatically, which is, it causes me to be able to broadcast and also me being able to hear. I'm not punching any buttons or anything. This is the second time it's happened today that all of a sudden they just turn off. I really don't know why. So anyway, what I was going to say is that I was going to have some fun and go into Michael Rivero's site here and just kind of peruse around and find a couple of articles that look like they might be interesting and... see what happens. Let's see. The Fox News co-president is gone, and Hannity is being recruited to start up a network. Anybody hear anything about that? It's no secret that big changes are coming up at Fox News. The leftist Clinton-supporting Murdoch brothers are now in charge, and rumors are that they intend to turn Fox News into yet another mainstream mouthpiece. And the latest rumor is that Fox News co-president Bill Shine, I guess he's a 21-year veteran of the company, has failed to obtain the public support of the Murdoch brothers. Okay, so they're going to recruit Hannity to start up a network. Oh, that's interesting. Let's see. Let me go back in here and find. Just give me a second here. Nancy Pelosi can't remember who the president is again? Okay. Let's see. Antifa goon is on. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's just. Going to come up on a break here again. Sure. Let's just go to Ed in Chicago. Ed, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Ed in Chicago. Well, I'm not in Chicago right now, but I'm from Chicago.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
Weren't you talking about the Titanic? That was awesome information. I mean, it was, like a cliffhanger. What happened? Who was involved? They changed the letters.
The letters on the Titanic originally, when they were built with the Olympic, the letters were engraved into the side of the ship. But when they switched ships, which it looks like likely they did, I'm not saying 100% sure they did, but the preponderance of the evidence is that they switched those two ships. And what they did was they overlaid lettering on, over the top of the engraved lettering, so it would say the Titanic. Matter of fact, there's actually a newsreel clip that dates back to the maiden voyage of the Titanic backing out of its berth, leaving. And when it backs out, you can see the starboard side of the ship that there's been major repairs done. Well, this was supposed to be a brand new ship, so why would there be repairs done to it unless the ship was switched? So, you can look at that newsreel and you could say, wow, that isn't the Titanic, that's the Olympic,
In other words, it was a huge insurance scam.
Well, yeah, the captain of the Titanic had been on the Olympic and he had been the commander of that ship, and he was involved in three separate accidents, one of which was a collision with the HMS Hawk, which was a British warship, and the Admiralty ruled that the Olympic was at fault, so they refused to pay the claim. Well, the claim itself would have literally put White Star Line into bankruptcy if they wouldn't have collected, so they likely switched the ships so they could claim, and they upped the insurance on the ship from $10 million to $12.5 million before its voyage. All right, we got to go to a break. If you want to hold over, Ed, I'll hold you over. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website Angioprim.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, and we're on the line. We got Ed on the line. Ed, was there something else you wanted to talk about? Or you would want to stay on the Titanic, or what?
Hey, yeah, Ed. No, awesome, man. No, stay on the Titanic, because what I was really interested in when you brought up, and I never heard before, J.P. Morgan was sick, and then he ended up in the where?
He ended up with his mistress. He was spotted 2 days later by an American reporter on the French Riviera with his mistress in perfect health. So you put all that stuff together, and it's the same cronies. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the different generation. It's the same old, you know. These guys have been around for a long time.
Mike, all I wanted to say is, like, facts like that, if the general public could somehow pick up on them, that'd be world-changing. Know what I mean?
I know. And this is why, and it's imperative, and I don't mean to keep coming back to this, but it's imperative that RBN stay on the air, because where else are you going to get this information, Ed? You're not going to get it anywhere else, you know? I had my webmaster, this guy that redid my whole website. He's got me set up where I can go on YouTube and Facebook, and I can broadcast live on television, you know, or on the internet. But they're right now with these guys that are doing it, they are, they're censoring them. So I'm going, okay, should I even bother to do that? Because they're going to, you know, if they're censoring them, you know they're going to censor me, you know?
Definitely not.
What's
definitely
that?
Definitely not. Don't do it. I mean,
no, they don't want the people. They
in our
people,
own
truth. Go ahead. What's that?
I wanted to really kind of say is, I hated these guys calling in and interrupting your narrative on the Titanic, which I thought was awesome. And
well, I was through with it. I mean, you know, I'm pretty much done with that report. So I opened the phone lines up. I went through the whole thing before the phone lines up. But the bottom line is the preponderance of the evidence was or is that, yeah, it's more likely than not that they switched the ships. You know, because if they wouldn't have, White Star Line would have went broke, and they admitted as such. You know, and the British, the investigation that they go ahead.
Full steam ahead at the iceberg. Full steam ahead.
Well, no, I mean they turned to port, but this British officer told them to reverse the engines. Well, when you do that while you're turning to port, it actually swings the stern around in the direction of the iceberg. So it looks like they knew what was going on, you know. But they also thought that the Californian was going to come and rescue him. But this other ship that was, you know, was illegally killing seals, they thought was the Californian that was right in the middle between the Californian and the Titanic. So the ship never came to rescue him because the captain of that ship was, you know, conducting illegal activities. So it was just a big screw up, you know. I mean, why would the Californian depart, you know, full of coal with nothing on the ship but a bunch of woolen sweaters? You know, that's kind of stupid, unless they knew, you know, that ship was going to sink. You know, go ahead.
What about the cargo of the Titanic or the Olympian, whichever it was? Was it armaments?
You're thinking of Lusitania. No, the Titanic was the passenger ship on its maiden voyage.
Correct.
The Lusitania was shipping ammunition over to Europe, and it was sunk by a German submarine. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, if you haven't got anything else, I'll let you go. I got another caller I got to get to.
I'm going
to
let you go, bro. All right.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Wes in Idaho. Wes, you're on with Mike.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for turning to Ernst Zundel. I'd like to hear you do a full week on Ernst Zundel and his wife and Sylvia Stoltz and Gamar Rudolph and Fred Loyster. I wonder if Fred Loyster is still around. I heard Fred Loyster years ago on the Tom Valentine show. That's how long I've been at. I still remember throwing wire over my house and my Sony 2010 shortwave radio. That was the first good $350 shortwave radio I had. Here, timeline of the Eskimo-owned Federal Reserve Bank. Oh, yes. From 1791 to 1811, Rothschild's First Bank of the United States. From 1816 to 1836, Rothschild's Second Bank of the United States. I think of the War of 1812 was in there somewhere. 1837 to 1862, free banking era. No formal central bank through the efforts of, thank God for President Andrew Jackson. 1862 to 1913, system of national banks through the efforts of, once again, President Andrew Jackson. Then 1913 to current, Federal Reserve Act affects a consortium of privately held, oh, there's that word again, Eskimo. Yeah, it's the Eskimos that own the Federal Reserve. They're our enemies and associated. But once again, what's with our dear president we're supposed to hold in such high esteem? Why was he spending any time paying homage, respect, honor to these people that say that there was a Holocaust where Jews were turned into human
Wait. Look, here's what I'm going to do, Wes. Okay, I'm going to cover this. I'm going to cover the trial. And I have said this all along. You may have heard it. You may not have heard it. All I'm saying is this. Did it happen? Did it not happen? If it didn't happen, or if it did happen, show us the evidence. But when you throw people in prison and you don't show them the evidence, okay, I've got a problem with that. I don't have a problem, you know, well, you know, if 6 million Jews actually died in the prison camps, I don't have a problem with that. All I'm saying is show me. The evidence that I'm seeing, you know, adds fuel to the contrary. But I'm, you know, I can be convinced. All I need to do is, you know, sit down with somebody who says, no, you're wrong, and here's why. And I'll say, okay, I'm wrong. You know, but my position is agnostic. My position is not that it didn't happen. My position is if it did happen, then show me where it, you know, it happened. Now, you talked about Fred, I think it's Fred Leuchter, right?
Leuchter.
Right, okay. Well, okay, but
he
Fred.
Was hired.
Wes, I know who Fred is, and Fred believed this, the complete story of the Holocaust. He never had any reason to not believe it. And he was hired by the defense team of Ernst Zundel. Doug Christie was his attorney, okay, to go over to Germany and do a forensic analysis of the evidence, or not the evidence, yeah, of the evidence and the claim that they made. And Fred Leuchter concluded after his investigation that it was nonsense. And again, this is not a guy that was leaning one side or the other. Actually, he was a guy that was leaning towards it did happen. And he came back shaking his head and said it couldn't have happened the way they said it happened. So, you know, I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to go into that when I go into the show. Anything else you want to add before I let you go, Wes?
David Cole is another one. If he's still around, active, I don't know. I've heard some.
I'm familiar with David Cole.
Good and bad of him, but that 1 hour thing on YouTube of his visit to Auschwitz is great. I love that. I got a $50 I paid for a book from Ernst Zundel years and years ago. Also, I just got a book the other day of There Was a Man, you know, Gordon Call. That book is now on Amazon for $3,000 to $4,000. I read it years ago. I got it for $25. But Gordon Call, that's another story very similar to Ruby Ridge, if you know it. I mean, here was
I'm relatively familiar with the story, but I got to run. I'm going to cover some news here, Wes. Thanks for the call. Thank you for the information, bringing us up to speed on the whole history of the banking system. So, have a good night. Thank you very much for calling in. I want to share a story with you guys. I got this from my buddy. A lot of you know who he is, Erskine. Okay, Erskine and I are still talk now and then, but he sent me a story that was so apropos. I thought I'd read it on the air tonight because it's kind of funny. It's called A Fishing Story. Okay, the king wanted to go fishing, so he called on the royal weather forecaster and inquired as to the weather forecast for the next few hours. Now, the weatherman assured him that there was no chance of rain in the coming days. So the king went fishing with his wife, the queen. And on the day, on the way, he met a farmer that was on his donkey. Okay? Upon seeing the king, the farmer said, "Your Majesty, you should return to the palace. In just a short time, I expect a huge amount of rain to fall in this area." Well, the king was polite, and he was considerate, and he replied, "I hold the palace meteorologist in high regard. He is an extensively educated and experienced professional. And besides, I pay him very high wages. He gave me a very different forecast, and I trust him." So the king continued on his way. However, a short time later, a torrential rain fell from the sky. The king and queen were totally soaked, and their entourage chuckled upon seeing them in such a shameful condition. Furious, the king returned to the palace and gave the order to fire the professional. Then he summoned the farmer and offered him the prestigious and high-paying role of royal forecaster. And the farmer said, "Your Majesty, I don't know anything about forecasting. I obtain my information from my donkey. If I see my donkey's ears drooping, it means with certainty that it will rain." So the king hired the donkey. And thus began the practice of hiring dumbasses to work in the government and occupy its highest and most influential positions. The practice is unbroken to this date, and thus the democratic symbol was born. How do you like that one, folks? I thought it was pretty funny. Anyway, you know, getting back to this whole thing, I told you I was going down the rabbit hole on some of these, you know, untimely deaths of these people that were either directly or indirectly affiliated with the Clintons. And I ran across one. I don't remember. Okay. Did my microphone go off again? Did that whole story get out before I lost the mic? Oh, okay. Sorry about that, folks. I don't know what's going on. There's a ghost in my computer or something. You know, I'll be talking right along, and all of a sudden my speakers will just go off. And I go back in there into the settings, and it says they're off. Somebody turned them off inside my computer, so I don't know. All right, so anyway, I'm going down the rabbit hole, and there was somebody directly or indirectly affiliated with some of these deaths that are, you know, tied to the Clintons. And I ran across the Oklahoma City bombing. And I went in and started looking at Timothy McVeigh. And were you aware that there's a number of people out there, people that actually witnessed his execution, that say they're not sure he died? Because I think there was two ladies that I uncovered that said that, first of all, they had him covered up all the way to his neck, and they didn't see any IVs in his arms. And after he was declared dead, two different people said that they could see him breathing, although it was shallow. So anyway, I'm going down, I'm doing all this research on it, and I ran across this term called sheep dipped. Now, if anybody knows what that means, I guess they had put Timothy McVeigh into a special school for, like, Green Berets or, you know, Navy SEALs or whatever. It was the ultimate. He was going to school to become one of these elite people. And he wrote a letter to his sister, and he had told his sister that they had them all out, you know, on the tarmac after a day of marching or whatever. They had 400 of them. He was in a group of 400 people. And they called out 10 different Social Security numbers. His was one of them. And so he thought that they were, you know, calling him out because they were bouncing him out of the academy. And what they were really doing is they called him. Now, this is according to a letter that he wrote to his sister. The official story is that the Army discharged him, you know, a year and a half or 2 years or whatever it was before, you know, he supposedly blew up this fertilizer U-Haul or whatever. But according to the letter that he wrote his sister, they picked him and 9 other guys specifically for international operations to be basically, I don't know what you call it, a spy, an assassin, whatever, kind of like James Bond or whatever, you know. And another witness that was a friend of his when he was in prison, supposedly waiting in execution, did an interview with a radio station, and this guy testified, in the interview, that Timothy McVeigh told him that he wasn't going to die, that they were going to fake his death and, you know, I guess let him go off to wherever he's going and keep using him or whatever. And after that interview, the feds shut this, or they ordered this guy into solitary confinement. They wouldn't even let this guy talk to his lawyers, okay? So this is one of the upcoming shows that I'm working on right now, and I'm kind of doing some more digging. But does anybody have any thoughts, or has anybody gone down the rabbit hole and seen any of that stuff that I just talked about seeing? Because that was news to me. I thought he was dead, you know, and now I'm starting to find out, well, maybe he's not dead. I don't know. And again, it's just like the Holocaust thing, and it's just like the Titanic thing. I'm not saying it did happen. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying the preponderance of the evidence, as I'm uncovering it, is starting to look like maybe it didn't. Okay, but with what the government tells us, the problem that happens with people like us is that once you find out that the government lies to you on a consistent basis, that, you know, you start wondering, should you believe anything the government says? So another thought I'll put out there for you is, when's the last time you've heard the government say anything that you turn around later on and said,
you know what, they told me the truth?
I can't remember the last time. But then I could be wrong, you know. Anybody out there that, you know, say, well, the government said, you know, it was going to rain Friday, so it didn't, I don't know. But the government really never says anything to me that I hear on mainstream media that is, you know, any semblance of the truth. What's that I think it was a CIA agent or a former CIA agent, maybe he was ahead of the CIA, that came out and said they're not going to be satisfied with mainstream media until everything the public believes coming out of mainstream media is a lie. That's when the CIA will be happy. Now, speaking of the CIA, I'm still meaning to have, we got a break coming up, last break coming up. We'll be back, final segment, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Doug Valentine, I still haven't got back with him. He's the guy that wrote the CIA as organized crime. All right. Be back in, folks. Stick around.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, 5% organic materials, and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, we're back. Final segment of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. I was just talking to my board operator during the break. Well, now the witnesses are up to four because I had two ladies here. One of them is, and I'm talking about the Timothy McVeigh thing again. One of them is, let's see. Hold on a second here. What's her name? Oh, gosh. Susan Carlton. With WLS, which is a mainstream radio AM station here. WLS, I think, isn't that either Cincinnati or Chicago? But yes, witness Susan Carlson said that he appeared to still be breathing. It was shallow breathing, even after being pronounced dead. Now, that was one. And then the other one was a lady by the name of Janie Coverdale. She witnessed the execution. And she said he was totally covered up. You couldn't see any IV lines going into him at all. Then I just got two more from my board up, Mike. One, Lorraine Day and Cass Ingram. Now, Cass Ingram is Qasem Khalil, I guess. Both say McVay wasn't executed. And now, this in itself causes a whole bunch of more work for me, because not, you know me, I'm like a dog with a bone. I see this stuff and I'm going, okay, I got to find out for myself. So, yeah, thank you very much. Now I've got 4 pages worth of docs on this guy. Maybe he's alive, maybe he's dead, I don't know. But here's one key issue here that really caught my attention about McVay, is that he wrote a letter to a judge before he died. Now, and by the way, let me back up a minute. When you die in prison, it's automatic that you have an autopsy done. They automatically do an autopsy. I don't know why, okay, but they do. That's what I've been told by many people. But in this case, Timothy McVay wrote a letter to some judge. He requested that no autopsy be done. And interestingly enough, that request was granted, number one. Number two, when he supposedly was pronounced dead, the prison officials used a decoy to throw the public off, and ultimately his so-called body was immediately cremated, and the ashes were given to his attorneys. So I don't know. You know, I look at this and I'm going, okay, here we go. I'm going to be up till midnight again on the weekend doing this. You know, because I can't stop. It's part and parcel of this. Oh, but one other thing I want to throw is part and parcel to the Kool-Aid that they keep feeding us here. And I watched this old 60 Minute. What was the black guy on 60 Minutes? Can't remember his name. He's passed on, but he was a good. I liked him. He was a good interviewer. But he interviewed Timothy McVay, and even when I watched that interview, Timothy McVay was not acting like somebody who really, I mean, he wouldn't admit doing anything, okay? He didn't admit blowing it up. Matter of fact, there's suspicions, the unnamed suspect that got out of the passenger side of the van, okay? They had this big wide manhunt for the guy, and all of a sudden they just stopped it. And the unnamed suspect, or whatever the name they had for him, and they never found the guy. So it is being looked at and possibly concluded that this guy was either an agent or an operative, that the government did know about it. And, you know, you add all the other stuff into the mix about the, the ATF agents that were tipped off via cell phone messages. There's another witness that says they spoke to one of the agents, and he said, yeah, we tipped off not to work that day. Okay, well, if they didn't know anything about it, how would they be tipped off not to work that day? So, yeah, I ran across, and I'm just sharing a couple of these snippets with you before I start digging down. But there's another thing that, remember Jesse Trentadue? Jesse Trentadue uncovered a thing called PATCOM, which is a Patriots Conspiracy Federal Network to try to expose or discredit anybody in the Patriot movement. Okay, good night. I don't hear the music, but okay. I'm out of time. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you tomorrow night with Field McConnell. All right? That should be an interesting show. Stick around, folks. A lot of interesting information. Good night.
Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.